All right. Now, Jason, being a millennial, you have no idea who was just singing, do you? Not a clue who was just singing.
Nope. I have no idea.
That was Ms. Holly Neer singing We Are Gay and Lesbian People. We sing that at all our marches.
I love it.
A little FYI for the millennial. My FYI for the millennial moment. Welcome back, gang. We are in studio with Vanessa Romaine, one of the co-founders of Long Beach Pride, and Steve Ganzel, past president of Christopher Street West. Welcome, guys.
Well, thank you.
So good to have you here. I mean, this is so great. You, Vanessa, when did Long Beach Pride get started?
Back in 1984. 84, yes. That was our first year that we pulled it all together, met in someone's living room and said, we got to make this happen in Long Beach.
And who was there? You and Martinez.
Mary Martinez, Judy Doyle, Bob Crow.
I remember Judy Doyle, of course.
Marilyn Barlow. Oh, God, there was Fran Williamson. There were a few other folks that were there.
It's all women, though. Interesting to me. It's almost all women.
Almost all women, yes. Yeah. Because we all met at the Executive Suite, and we're talking about it one day.
Long Beach Lesbian Bar.
Yes, and, yes. Yeah. And we said we needed to make it happen in Long Beach because we were tired of going to L.A.
Coming up to West Hollywood.
Yes. And so we wanted to do our own thing. And when the discussion happened in that bar, the owner of the bar said, I'll make it happen with you.
Wow.
So, Fred Covell was his name.
And what were the politics in Long Beach like for the idea of a pride in conservative Ohio by the sea,
yes,
Long Beach, California?
It's Idaho by the sea, for sure. It was very, they didn't want it to happen. They were afraid that we were going to be like West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid that we were going to come out with all these outfits and naked bodies and having sex
You're talking about me now, aren't
you? Yeah, right. They had no concept. They didn't know what to do. Right. All they knew is what they saw on television, and so they didn't want that in Long Beach, and so they were very, very, very conservative.
Right.
And they said, we're not going to have it. And we said, oh, yes, we are. And they tried to do everything possible with roadblocks, including a $20,000 deposit that we, of course.
Oh, to try to prevent you from even having a parade.
Yes. And so we came up with a $20,000 in cash.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
Yes.
Steve, when were you president of CSW?
In the dark ages. It's been about 5 years now.
Yeah. And you identify with our leather community.
Right.
Yeah, very true.
Right.
And I know what Vanessa's talking about. Some of those images that people objected to were the guys in leather or the drag queens. And it's all about the guys in leather or the drag queens. And yet, that is part of our community.
So, it was a really familiar conversation that people wanted us to assimilate. If we just looked like Mormon missionaries marching down the street, we would finally be accepted, which history's proven has never worked. It didn't work for the Mattachine Society. It doesn't work for us now.
Right.
But there certainly were people who were willing to buy into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when was your very first parade? Was it Christopher Street West?
No.
Okay.
It was in San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah. And what year was it, you think?
Yeah. Jeez, John, if I knew there was going to be a quiz, I would have studied.
Well, the first one was 1970, because of course Stonewall happened June 28, 1969, and a year later, Christopher Street West was formed to have their own pride parade and protest, and it evolved from there to become a festival and parade. My first was 78.
So, is that right?
Yeah, in West Hollywood, 78.
I think mine was probably after that.
Okay.
Yeah, mine was 80.
80?
Yes.
Okay, right. Well, we were young, blossoming homos at about the same time.
Definitely. All in the closet, of course.
Yeah.
We didn't step out at all at that point in time.
Yeah. What's interesting to me about Long Beach, the way you described it, is that all the women of color that were in the lead, because I think that there's this misconception, this narrative that goes on, that it's all white gay men that do everything.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
It was in the West Hollywood and the other areas of the community because they had the money and they could stand up.
Right.
But in Long Beach, we kept it strong because at that time was the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
And we lost a lot of our brothers.
84 is when Long Beach got started?
Yes.
That's just when things were starting to pick up.
Yes. And so with losing a lot of our brothers, we had to step forward. And that was our main thing, is stepping forward. The organization Southern California Women for Understanding
stepped forward
as a leading force to raise money for AIDS. And so Long Beach Pride stepped right in there at the same time. But we lost a lot of our brothers, and a lot of people were scared.
Yeah.
So they weren't coming out in Long Beach and Orange County. And that was the issue, is that Long Beach is that edge of Orange County. We had a lot of people participate from Orange County, but they weren't out. Right. And they really didn't want to be out because they were afraid, and the AIDS virus was a killer.
And I don't know if you remember, but I was the lawyer for Orange County's first parade in 1989 in Centennial Park in Santa Ana, which happened right after Long Beach, I guess.
Yeah. Yes,
over the years, I think the parades have often reflected what's happening in LGBT community. Do you think that's true?
I think it's true. I know for sure that because we had such a diverse group of leaders in Long Beach, myself being African-American, Mary Martinez being Hispanic, and also the Caucasians, we had a real diverse group of people coming out. So the parades started to come, more people started to come out who were like us and realized it was okay because they were like us. And they stepped to the plate, and we all were out there just doing what we had to do to make a difference.
Yeah. I have a quiz question for both of you. Steve, we'll let you go first. Critic might say, oh, the parade and festival, it's the same damn thing every year, the same floats, the same thing. Why can't they spruce it up? And we have 1 minute left. So guess what? We're going to go to commercial break and give you 4 minutes to think about your response to that.
Oh, I already have a response.
Oh, you do? Yeah. I'm sure it's going to take more than 30 seconds.
It'll take more than 30 seconds to tell you.
All right, gang. We're going to go take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q. Dancing in the Streets. Jason, I will give you $5 if you know who sang Dancing in the Streets.
I guess I'm going broke today. I don't know.
Oh, the Vandellas. Okay, this is way before your time. Okay, now I'm really aging myself as a baby boomer. Welcome back to Sidebar with John Duran. We are talking Dr. Steve Genzel, former president of Christopher Street West, and Vanessa Romaine, one of the co-founders of Long Beach Pride, about Pride. Before the break, we were talking about the critics that say, it's the same thing every year. What would you say in response, Steve?
Don't go.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Of course, it's going to be some of the same things every year because of the thing. Those are the things that often draw people. Mm-hmm. But there certainly is an attempt to include new things and to be thinking about what things work. You try something, it doesn't work. You try to adjust it. But there's always going to be this criticism of, you know, why is, especially the idea of commercialism. Mm-hmm. And it's real simple. With 450,000 people, they have to pee someplace.
Right.
And nobody's given away free outhouses.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to pay for them. And insurance.
Pay for it. And
fencing.
And all those things.
Entertainers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question is that model sustainable? At some point, do we get to the place where it's like, this is so expensive to produce this gigantic event that we're losing what's really valuable? And I think when you go to places like Ventura and some of the smaller communities that are doing these really grassroots pride events, it's an incredible
must feel heartwarming
experience.
Again. I know the city of West Hollywood, we just gave Christopher Street West $1.8 million dollars to subsidize Christopher Street West.
Right.
So, and one of the criticisms was, okay, where are we going, gang? Because it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And they told us they just got, I think it was Netflix or some large entertainment company come in at a $100,000 donor. So you're right. Commercialism is creeping in. It's into
but
Pride.
It's what's paying the bills.
Something has to pay the bills, right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that really changes the nature of the event.
Right.
So now you're going to kind of the gay version of the county fair without it.
Right. Mm.
Without animals.
Yeah.
Well.
What do you think, Vanessa?
It all depends on what kind of animals you're looking at.
That's what I meant.
Bears and otters for me.
Yeah. I believe that we need to go back to the grassroots. I believe that all this capitalism and organizations and companies who take over make the event a little bit different from what it used to be. We did it ourselves. We did everything ourselves. And so when we start to pay companies to come in and do things for us, we've lost a lot. It is a big party, and it's not what it started out to be. Mm. It started out to be a place where we felt safe, that we could enjoy ourselves and enjoy partying, but not just a big party, everybody get drunk and have a good time. That's not the way it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
The big companies coming in helps financially. But I was shocked to hear that West Hollywood gives money to their Pride event. Long Beach just gives not a dime.
You got a gay mayor in Long Beach, Robert Garcia.
They don't give a dime. That's not something that it's. We're a nonprofit organization, and because of that, we have to steadfast and hold fast to not taking from our own city.
I may have to call that Robert Garcia and say, what is going on in Long Beach?
You know, now that I'm not the president, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
I think that Robert has been very supportive. I think he's done everything possible. But money coming from the community would probably be an upheaval of every organization in, under the moon who's a nonprofit that would want some money from the city.
Right.
So it's, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. I know for West Hollywood, what, because the criticism was constant every year. Oh, you forgot this. You didn't include that. What about this? What? We ended up expanding to a whole month of Pride, in essence, with weekends and, you know, everything from lesbian poetry reading to art exhibition to historical presentations, the reading of Harvey Milk. I mean, so we have a whole month of Pride festivals rather than just one weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And in Long Beach, we have a Pride week. It's expanded to that, but not further than that because it would be too much. It's a small city.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to do and a lot of people to move around. So I think that the Pride week kind of helps with bringing all of those poetry groups, other activities that go on, and the church groups put on an event. There's all kinds of small events that go on throughout the community.
Right.
Pride.
Steve?
One of the reasons that a group of us left the board of CSW en masse was because it was the first time in almost 20 years that decisions about the finances lost the vision of what it was that we were doing.
Mm.
For all of the time that I'd been involved with the organization, every decision about finances, are we going to have to charge a little bit more? What are we going to do about this? Went through the filter of what about that kid?
Right.
Who needs to come to this event. That 13-year-old lesbian who says, my aunt's bringing me to this thing because she knows I need it, but they can't afford to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly we went from that model to turning it into a music festival.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was an agonizing experience to watch something that was so valuable to me become something with which I could have nothing to do.
No, it makes sense. Let me ask, because you both bring up really good points. So this all started as a protest parade, and then it became a place for people to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2019, a lot of people Jason's age, you know. Now, Jason happens to be a straight ally, and he has no issues about LGBT whatsoever. And that's actually what we were fighting for, right? That it would become a non-issue. LGBT people today are somewhat immersed into mainstream and a little more comfortable, let's say, than we were in 70s and 80s. Is there still a reason for Pride?
I believe there's a reason for Pride. I think there is a reason for education and to continue the education that there is a fight that continues to go on. We need to keep fighting.
Yeah.
There are so many different personalities and realities of our community now.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just lesbian and gay people. We're, you know, bi, trans. We've got the whole community that the queer questioning youth, people who are out there that want some place to lay their head and say, I belong.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a need to have something of that nature here.
I tell young people two words, Donald Trump. That's all I gotta say. The battle still goes on.
Yeah.
The idea that we have been that successful completely melts away the minute you talk to trans people.
Mm, that's very true. We just had two trans women on right before you.
And when you hear what they're going through and what their experience is, there's no way that anybody can say it's time for us to rest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of what Pride does is it allows us to celebrate the progress that we've made and encourage people to say, you know what, this was a lot of fun. Now let's get back in the trenches and get back to work, and we'll come back next year and see how much progress we've made.
Yeah.
But there's an enormous amount of progress that's still to be made.
Yeah.
So resting on our laurels is great if you're an assimilated, entitled white guy who has no challenges, then you're done. You don't need to ever come to Pride again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and I think the balancing that needs to happen is making room for all the new stuff, but keeping the traditions in place.
Right.
Like somebody asked me, why do the dykes on bikes always go first? And so I gave my two-part answer. Well, first of all, because it's the dykes on bikes, and it's that people expect, and it's the roar of the engines, and we're going to start with breaking gender stereotypes right up front. And then beyond all that, you can't really ride a bike behind a parade entry. You need lots of room.
Right.
So the dykes on bikes have to go first.
There's a third reason.
Yeah.
You never want to talk to them about perhaps not being in the front.
In Long Beach, we had that conversation, and we worked it out where we would alternate the men and the women. and we had the Satyrs when they had their 50th year starting. Long Beach let Satyrs go first, and we decided at that point in time there was a battle, but we worked it out to have men and women move forward.
I had to put my big heel down last year and say the Dykes on Bikes are going first because the trans community wanted to go first. I'm like, the Dykes on Bikes always go first. Mm-hmm. That is our tradition. So anyway, we have to wrap it up. Will you both come back another time? This has been really delightful.
Would
I love having you here.
Love to.
All right.
Love to come back.
Gang, when we come back, we'll be talking to Cleve Jones, LGBT icon. We've been talking with Vanessa Romaine and Steve Ganzel. Thank you for tuning in here on Sidebar with John Duran on Channel Q.